great to be home. We just got back yesterday afternoon, a 13-day trip, and I slept till noon today. It felt really good. But your pastors will be in, and I'm sure that they've seen the same, God's hand work through them and through the people they're with, and I'm excited to be here. I didn't go out of the house today. I stayed in and read, and I kept thinking, God, surely you're gonna give me something a little bit ahead of time. But y'all know how it is with me. I'm not very good. If He gives me everything ahead of time, I seem to mess it up. So, if you would just pray with me, Father, I thank you that this is your body, that Salma's allowing your spirit to possess her, and I allow you to speak through me, and that my words would be your words, and you know the people here. You know the needs, and we don't want to just go through church or just through service, Father. We want to see you bring life into their hearts, that you encourage them, that you build them up with your love. Father, that their eyes are open to your goodness and your provision, and that where the enemy's spoken lies to them, that they'll be destroyed tonight, that the images that he's spoken over them, that they'll be able to be free from that, take on the image that Christ is who they are. Father, I thank you for that. I prophesied into these next few minutes that you'll use this body and these people here, that we'll look like Jesus when we walk out. That when we speak the words of the Father. Amen. I don't know if we have pictures or did they come through? I don't. Grayson's looking. But anyway, we started out just. I really have to struggle. We've been, I don't know how many times over there, and I don't like it to be business as usual. I don't want to get in a habit of going to a country and just taking things for granted. And it's the same when I get up here. I don't want to just come up here and share something and it not be what God wants, because He's the one that matters. And it doesn't matter how we look. You need to get over how you look. Salma's bright shoes, that really bothered her to have those bright shoes on. And I was thinking, mine still have the dirt from the streets of Peru on them. So, and you have to fill out these papers when you come through customs, and have you been on a farm? And I've been all over farms, you know, and I don't put anything down because I don't know what they'll scrub me down or what they'll do when I come back. So it was good. We had a great however many days, 10 days on the ground. There's this one guy, his name's Irvin. He had been in an accident on a motorcycle and severed his spine, and he was at the church meetings when we would go, and I didn't get to see him get up, but I mean, I put my hands on him a lot of times, and Candace was sending me Smith's Wigglesworth stuff and things of how, you know, it's God that does it. But I really believe he's going to get restored. That'll be a great miracle in that church, because everybody knows, and it was about 6 months ago, and he's really hungry, and it's not up to me to make him get up, but God definitely made provision for that. So, you know, y'all agree with me when you pray that this is going to, we're going to see this. Because we don't, it's not a place we go and don't go back. We go back and back and back. And, you know, God set it up so that eventually, you know, Harry and Grayson and Parker and those guys that age are going to be able to just go, and my grandchildren and children, to where that things are being set up where we can go and have crusades and minister to people in safe places. It's really exciting, that part of the adventure. I don't see any pictures, so you just sit there. But whenever I got here, we flew into Miami. Okay, that's Van Diesel. That's what I call him because he looked kind of, in life, he looked like Van Diesel, so that's what I called him. But anyway, these are some of the young, that's one of the young guys that's not been a Christian long, but he's really turned himself over to Christ. But something I just, it's on my heart. When we flew in to Miami yesterday morning, and we hadn't been around the news, and I see all of this news, you know, you can't help it. It's the airport's got TVs every place you go. And it really hurt me in my heart to see all of this traumatic stuff going on, not just here, but this hatred that's all over the world, the things that are going on. And you know, I said, you know, we've been immune to that for these days, you know, and so I get back here, and then I'm thinking, why did I even come back? You know, Selma said, "You aren't excited." I said, "Look at all of this stuff that we see every day." And then today we were talking, and then we got into casting down every imagination and every thought. And those are thoughts. When you look at that and you allow that to come into you and have relationship with you and cause that seed of hatred to come up, that's evil. And we're not supposed to sleep with evil. So I encourage you, whenever you have an opportunity for that to come, let God's thoughts become your thoughts. Not that you bury your head in the sand, but our God is greater. I mean, you can picture that in David's time, they had hand-to-hand combat. And I don't know if y'all have ever imagined like I have, Samson with that jawbone and how bloody that would have been to kill 1,000 or 10,000 men that close in that close of range. Can y'all see that? That this hasn't just begun today just because we're seeing it on CNN. Just because we're seeing this, it's not just started. It's been on the earth. But what we're to do is to be the light. Yes. We aren't to be caught up in it. And then the next thing you know, we're talking the same. We should kill them. You think Jesus segregated people in Iraq out of the blood that he shed? No. He shed his blood for the whole earth. Every man, woman, and child that lived after or before, he shed it for them. And the only reason they don't serve him is because they've been deceived. The only reason me and you, if we knew the love of the Father like Harry was talking about, we'd be serving God or honoring him with what life we have left. If we really knew how much the Father loves us. If they really knew. So how are they going to know? If we don't tell them. If we don't put down all of these anxieties and these hatreds and tell people that God loves them. And the only way you can do it, remember, to them that's been freely given, they freely give. So you got to receive that love from the Father in order to give it to them. To give it to your neighbor. You know, he talks about your neighbor a lot too. Jesus did. How many of you even know your neighbor? How many of you know what their electric bill is a month? Or whether they can pay it? Or do they have groceries? One of my neighbors was hunting squirrels with a BB gun. One of the guys that was working for me at the time, he said, "Bobby's up there hunting squirrels with a BB gun." And that wouldn't be unusual for us. We'd be shooting them with something. But then it took a few minutes and he's hungry. And so I went up there and I said something to him and he was. But are we looking Are we just caught up in our world, in the world of the media, in Facebook or whatever? Twitter, is that what the other one is? It's hard for me to do a email or text sometimes. That used to frustrate me so bad. When I was learning to text, still am, and somebody would send me something back before I got halfway through it, right, Candace? And it'd make mine go away, and I done spent 5 minutes trying to put it in there. I just got frustrated with some of that communication stuff. And you see how I talk, so I've got issues with communication. So the main part is my hands work good. Evidently Parker's do too. He told me his was moving like this when he talked Sunday. So, you know, he picked that up from his daddy. But the cool part about us and this church and believers are that God's bigger than everything around us. We just came out of a place where they'll kill you for $20. I mean, they pay somebody $20 and they go and kill somebody else. It's just that kind of it's whacked out. But the truth is, we've never been harmed. We've never been took advantage of, other than maybe some money, and we've always been treated good. And so whenever we see these pressures around us and people talking about how bad the world is, the truth is, in Christ, we're took care of. In Christ, we're missing nothing. In Christ, we have a hope. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how gloomy everything around us gets, don't let that get on you. Cast that down and remember who you are in Christ. You know, when we get off of those planes over there, that plane, and walk down that runway and walk into there, I no longer have an identity because they could care less who I am. But I take on Christ. And I would ask some, I would say, why is it so different there? It's because I'm helpless. And when I become helpless, God becomes great. And so whenever you look at things, you see how obviously messed up it is. But then look at how great God is. And know that this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time there's been threats. This isn't the first time things are out of order. But in Christ, we're free. We're free from the worry and the anguish and the hatred. God forbid that you let hatred come in your heart for something that Jesus died for. That His precious blood was shed for those people. And the enemy has convinced Christians to hate them, or them to hate us. Let's don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, little children. Recognize how God is God and how big He really is. And let His love, whenever you hear it at work, you don't have to make a scene, but you don't have to let it get on you. You don't have to participate and say, oh yeah, we just need to do this and we need to do that. Has that been going the whole time? Man, I don't know when y'all are going to go home. That's two pastors there, Washington, who we've been with, and then a new family that God's hooked us up with that's really gracious. I can let Selma, I can take a break. Go ahead, honey, you share some. And I want this water down here.
Okay. Going back to what he said before he said that part, is we know the power of our words. And to me, it even becomes more evident in these times that we need to speak what God would say, because then we'll see the fruit thereof. And if we speak what's in our minds and the negative stuff that, you know, wants to infiltrate us, whether it is by CNN or Fox News or Facebook or all these things that we can look at, we have a choice to turn it off. we have a choice to say, no, I'm not going to go there, you know, and it really is a different world when we get down there and we see in Peru, you know, we don't understand the language yet, so, you know, they'll have a TV going, but we're not understanding anything that's going on, and so we're free from this for so long, and we know it's happening, but we also speak God's word over the situation and his protection, who is in Christ Jesus. And he gave us angels to protect us. But if we don't tell them what to do, they're just waiting. You know, and it's so important that we say what we want, because otherwise we get something else, because we've not spoken what we want. And when he was sharing, I kept hearing this church, the people in this church give life. That's what it's about. I give life. Parker, you're too far over to the left-hand side. I can't see. So I'll do like Philip. But, you know, that's our purpose here, is to give life. And we give life with our words. We give life with our actions. You know, and when we go to Peru, one thing I kept hearing, and it was so sweet, and is, I'm so happy when you're here. You know, and then it makes me think, well, what's life like when we're not? You know, what is life like here? You know, when you're not somewhere, are you making it a happy place? You know, or is it just, well, it's another day. You know, we just are living another day. But when we're down there, we're excited about every day coming because we know it's a whole new adventure. God, what you got today? And that's how we should be here. God, what you got for me today? What do you want me to do for you today? And so as you see these pictures, some are flipping through because I was sending emails to Grayson and in groups of five, so we don't know how many. But at the very beginning, you started seeing pictures of a family together. And that's how this started, was with that family here in this same church years ago. And they were here and were members of this church. And then the pastor had asked us to go, a group of us, to go to another church and start a sister church. And so that couple, they also came over to that church after time passed. And when they were moving back to Peru, he looked over at Philip and I and he said, I want you to come to my country and teach. And Philip said he had been showing him farm stuff because we were farming at that time. And he had been taking him to dairies because his father is a dairyman. And he was showing him dairies and everything and how the new equipment works and things like that, because they still hand milked all their cattle. And so Philip says, about teach your workers, your people, you know, that work for you or you about the farming? And he said, no, I want you to teach them about God. And that opened the door right there for us to go into Peru. To me, it's just like, wow, God, you couldn't have spelled it out much clearer, you know, for us. And so I cried. I mean, I have cried the past several days, and I sat back there and cried during the worship, because when we're talking about his goodness, to watch what God's been doing in Peru with us and with the teams that we take and how he's opening doors that we dreamed of. We dreamed of these things happening, but we didn't know how to do it or how it could ever come to pass. And he's causing a family, a team of believers in Peru for us to work with. When we went down there, it was us and a couple other pastors that we knew, and that was it. There was no team unless we brought the team. And we were like, God, there needs to be a team, you know, that live there, that are there all the time, and we can encourage and we can work with. And then as we've been going the past few times, we've been watching God, just watching him in amazement and in awe, you know, just like, wow, God, you're so much bigger than what I can picture or imagine, but you allow me to walk through this with you. And that's how big he is. And so we've met this new pastor through the same man, actually, that we met the first pastor. We've met this pastor. And I'm like, God, you really are something, how you use people here to help us meet people there. And so we met this pastor, and this is a young adults group that they now have meeting in their home. And they believed for a place that they could have service at. And you look at this and you're like, wow, that's a pretty nice looking place. Yes, it is. And God provided that place for them. They waited until God showed them the place. They looked at many places, many houses, many different places, and they said, nope, it's not what we picture. We need a place where people can come to know about Him, to know about God, know about His goodness. We want to have plenty of room where we can have meetings in our home, you know, and so that's what happened. I mean, this is a wide open space, and then you go down some steps into another area, and they have meetings there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, and if they want to show up, it will be Friday, Saturday, you know. I mean, it just continues, and their heart is so pure for God. I mean, we just watch them, and we're like, God, they're of the same mind in Peru, you know. It's not like He's only working right here in Good News Church. You know, His Holy Spirit is working everywhere. And so, Philip, these guys are drawn to Him. I don't know if it's His accent or just, you know, what He says. But anyway, they're always, every picture, I could always take a picture because they're all circled around Him. But He brings life. And that's why. Because in Him is the light. And so I'll share, I didn't put a picture on here because it's difficult to do because they have Sunday church in a cinema in the mall, in one of the malls in town, and they had rented one theater. Well, last Sunday, you know, the lights were on, and here you are in the cinema, and there's, you know, about 100-something people come, and they're lined up in the cinema and having church. Well, this past Sunday, Philip was teaching, and we get there, and it is dark because every, like once a month or something, they shut down one section of the city. Well, it just happened to be that section for that Sunday. And so Philip got to preach in the dark. And so the only door was the exit door that goes outside. So he kind of stood where it would kind of come in, where you could at least know somebody was there teaching. And so I just recorded some of his teaching, but he's not in the picture. And so, but you know what? God moved right there too. It didn't matter because the light dispelled the darkness. And so it's just like watching Him move. And we went through another time where we were on our way to Pacasmayo, which there's an orphanage there. And God opened the door for that too miraculously. And we were on our way, and there was apparently an accident or something on the road. And these are the children from the school that we work with. And we have three schools there at the present, and there's 90 students. And they're like kindergarten, 3 to 5-year-olds. And we had just given them treats and said, this was the first school we went to, and all the children didn't come that day. There's supposed to be 20 of them. And so we were having fun and getting pictures. But we were on our way to Pacasmayo to the orphanage, and apparently there was an accident. And so we decided to take a side road. So it's not always total work. I mean, sometimes we have adventures along with our, you know, the getting to share the gospel. And so we're in a car, and the air conditioning, we had rented a van. There were 8 of us traveling. And so we had rolled down the windows in the front so we could, you know, cool off in the back. And so when we saw this line of trucks and buses and vehicles, and we were on the Pan American Highway, Philip says, why don't you take this road? There just happened to be this little road, like a frontage road along the side, and it looked pretty innocent, you know. And so he said, no, we can't do that. The pastor said, no, I don't know about that. And so a few minutes later, we watch all these cars turn around and take off up that road. So he said, oh, okay. So off we go up this road. Well, we're doing really good until it just ends like the concrete. It was a concrete section, and it ends, and it's dirt. Well, the windows are down, remember, okay? And there are cars in front of us. And so the dust is flying everywhere. And so the dust starts coming in the car, and we just start laughing. I mean, it was just like an adventure without having to go pay the extra price, you know, going to Universal or something, you know? And so we're riding, and everybody's laughing, and they can't see anything. And then you see this person walking, carrying sugar cane. Well, we're in the middle of the sugar cane fields. In the middle, kind of like the mazes that they have out here where you wander. And so here we are. We're out in the middle of this dirt road, and we're getting ready to make a curve. And the dust had settled just a little bit because the other cars decided not to go the way they were going. And so we make our way around through the sugarcane fields, and we get to see a donkey, you know, with his back, the pack on his back, you know, and they're getting ready to load him up. And this person was walking, and I tried to take their picture, but it was so dusty you can't really see them. And then we got to see the chicken with all of its little chicks and two cows on the side of the road. And then we went by some houses, and there we were back on the Pan American Highway. And I was like, thanks God, this is really cool. We got a little adventure along the way, but now we're on our way again. And so we made it up to the orphanage, and what we did, there's 30 orphans in the orphanage right now. One is a little baby that was found in Trujillo, which is where we go, and she was found in a bag. Somebody had tossed her out, and they found her at one day old. And somebody heard her, rescued her, and sent her up here to this orphanage. And now she's a month old, and I held her in my arms. God's so good. He is so good. And so then I got to hold another little girl, and she's two. And she was in a crib, and she had just woken up. And she's from what they call the high mountain areas because her hair is more brown and her eyes were green. And she would just stare at me. And so I stared back. And she's so cute. She has other siblings, and all of them are there, ranging from 2 to 15. And so there's various children there that have been sent there for different reasons. And we got to take them to a chicken place. We get to eat a lot of chicken down there because I like chicken, which is good. But they have pork and cooey, which is guinea pig. And these are the orphans. These are some of them. And we got them chicken and fries and salad and rice. And I'm telling you, they eat. And they will, even the little ones will clean their plate. And if they don't, they take a bag and they fill it with everything left over, and they take it back to the orphanage. There is no waste. And those children, that they'll eat it. They'll finish it up, or the adults. And there's women that are there. They need helpers. They need people that'll come, that would choose to come down there and live with those children and let them have a family atmosphere. They need men and women, you know, that will come and love on those children and let them see what it's like to have family, you know. And so here we are. We took them here, and on the ups, we had 3 flights to go up. This chicken place was 3 stories. It's in a place called Pacasmayo, and we call it Pacasmayo. And that's the way we could remember the name of it. So if we packed a smile, we were in Pacasmayo. And so there was a playground like McDonald's has, you know, with all the balls and everything. So those children hit that thing so fast, and they played and played and played. But as soon as there they are. And as soon as the people that worked there with them said, okay, it's time to eat, those children were just one right after the other. They just came and sat down. I mean, they knew what they were supposed to do. And then you would look over, and we had a blessing. And then I look over, and there's a group of girls. They're teenagers, and they're saying a blessing that they say there at the orphanage. And it was so sweet. And I thought, wow, God, you do amaze me. He just so amazes me. And so his goodness is real. And we need to trust his goodness. We need to trust him because he does only want good. He wants our lives to be better than we ever dreamed of. He wants us to not be afraid. He wants us to trust. The opposite of fear is trust, right? And how often do we want this natural tendency to, is because of the sin nature, it's natural. Because the real us in Christ, should be no fear. Because that's not who Jesus isn't afraid. He chose to go to the cross. Nobody made him go to the cross. He chose to. That's pretty powerful just in itself. So he says, as I am, so are you supposed to be. So we get to choose. We choose to walk in fear. We choose to walk in faith and in trust in him. And so I can go all kinds of ways. Do you have something you're wanting to share?
Sure. How can you see the clock and tell me what time?
Okay, you got it. Go.
What time is it? Out of the beauty of getting to do what we do, and if you just knew our past, you would know that if we do it, you can do it. If we live a life, then you can live that life that Christ has for you. It wouldn't be maybe the same. But I want you to be encouraged and know that He built you. And you remember, if you were here last time I taught, He built you with a specific body, designed you a certain way for a specific purpose. And I encourage you to find that purpose. Don't just see us and say, oh, this is, we're no different than you. We were born in a family, grew up, worked. So I encourage you, whether it's here, just like the things that they do on the streets here, it's no different. It's all about Jesus and what He's done and what He's provided and putting your hands on people. And one of the things that was hard whenever I was talking to the guys over there, you know, they don't know me. And so I'm on the street, and I don't know if y'all saw Crocodile Dundee, one of them, where he's in New York, and he shakes these New Yorkers' hands, and there's how many, 15 to 20 million people there. And he says, Nick Dundee, I'm from Australia. You know, and people are laughing at him and don't, you know, hear, like, I'm going to see you again in this city, and I'm walking in the subway and I shake your hand. Well, that's how I do there. I shake everybody's hand that I can stop. Sometimes out of a taxi, I'll reach and shake hands with somebody in another taxi because they're just that close. They're just that close. And I'll just, God bless you or something, see what they say or how they do. Well, the Peruvians, the young ones, they get uncomfortable. And I thought, well, I need to show them why that I'm this way. And so, you know, I'd get somebody that I would pay a little bit of attention, and then I would give them life. I would talk to them and see what God had for them just by touching them. And God would give me words to say, and their lives would change. And see that I come back here, and then I think, well, why don't I do that? Why aren't we doing that? Why do we let our culture or what somebody thinks, your neighbor may not even know you. So why are we timid about sharing? We aren't trying to share some disease or some cancer, some poverty. We're sharing life. What you have to give is freedom, wholeness, restoration. So let's don't be timid. Let's talk to whoever we're around, whatever opportunities we're asking God. God, can I share? Can I share with this person? And introduce yourself, just like over there. It was just like I was Crocodile Dundee. And the truth was, we'd be going the next day, and somebody would see and holler my name. You know, and it's a city of over a million, but that didn't matter to me. That's just that many more people to talk to, that many more people to pray with, that many more people to share the love of the Father with. And it's no different here. It's no different at your work. You turn the light on, let God be free inside of you, and that light is more powerful than your environment, than your past there. Remember, your past is gone. God's not keeping that record. Those people may be, but the truth is, when you share with them life, that stuff will be blotted out. You'll start fresh with them. Then the next thing you know, they'll be coming and saying, hey, can you pray with me about this? Hey, I know God answers your prayers. Will you pray with me about this? And the next thing is, they'll be going more and more, further and further into this relationship. Remember, God's about, not about the religious part. He's about the relationship. And you have the opportunity to share right in your world, right where you are. Don't let the enemy speak to you and deceive you and say your voice don't matter. But I don't have a. And then that's the lie. You have a. You have it because Christ lives in you. Your identity is in Him. So quit buying into these false truths, half-truths, lies, that you don't have something for your neighbor or somebody next to you, somebody in the line next to you, or somebody at the gas station. Doesn't matter who or where. listen, and God will open that door so fast if you just say, use me. Okay, I'm ready, God. Let's try it. Let's do it. And then open your mouth, because remember, you're Christ's body here on the earth. His body's at the right hand of the Father. Without a body, you don't have authority here. You know that if you've buried your loved ones, they aren't telling you what to do anymore. They're gone. Whenever they stepped out of that body, they didn't tell nobody anything anymore. They don't say, hey, Philip, go feed the cows. Hey, Philip, go cut the grass. None of that said. Why? Because they aren't here. The same with Christ. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he says, ye then now are my body. You're his voice. You're his hands. If you could just see it clearly, he doesn't have a body without you. He doesn't have a voice without you. He doesn't have an expression without you. You're the one. You're the one that controls that opportunity for the Holy Spirit that's seen everything. That's why he says, I'll send him. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same one that did the miracles, the same ones that did everything and has been here from the beginning, resides inside of you. And he'll give you the message and the words and the heart to give life to the people that are around you. And if you can do anything, do that, because that's the greatest of all of it. And the more free you become once you start seeing it, you'll never stop. It tastes so good to be able to do that. That will become your number one goal. And it won't be because you've made this great effort or taught yourself something. It'll be because you've seen the power of God work through your mouth, through your hands, even though you're a country boy and you don't have any business doing this or standing up here or saying this. The truth is, it's Christ in me, it's Christ in you, and he's not holding back and never will. And he'll use you and your voice and everything about you, your car, your house, everything about you that he's given you, he'll turn it into a great and glorious gift to where you can reach people right where we are. We don't have to fly. That's uncomfortable. I don't know if y'all fly. I used to think that'd be glamorous. That's almost a curse, to get on four different planes to get somewhere. You know, I used to think that would be the most cool. That'd be cool to be able to do this. Like, it's not that cool. It'd be a lot easier if God just said, go to your neighbors, Philip. Go over there in that neighborhood. Then I'd be home at night. So don't take it for granted that God's got a plan for you. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for these people that are here. I thank you for this church and the pastors. Father, I thank you for the vision that's here. And I speak into these people. I prophesy into them, Father, a glorious future. That you possess their bodies, that if they yield to you, that you touch people through them, starting tonight, Father. That they're looking for opportunities to deliver those packages of goodness and love that you have. Father, that healing's going to come through their hands and through their words, that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be turned loose to minister life. Irregardless of their past or what, I bind up those past agreements that they've made with, no, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, I messed this up. We just bind that up in the name of Jesus. We put that behind us. The past is gone. And now we make a new step. Your mercies are new every morning. Every day we get a new batch. Every day we get new opportunities. Glorious and great opportunities to share you. Father, I thank you that we all participate together in this great commission of restoring men and women back to you, in seeing you love and bring them in. That we have eyes to see and eyes of our heart and understanding, the understanding that you give. Father, I thank you that this isn't just talk, that this will go with us for the rest of our days. Father, in the life that we have left, we choose to honor you with it. We choose to spend it for you, Father. We do surrender all. We yield these mortal bodies and say, possess us, Father. Use us. Send me. In Jesus' name.